That was a beautiful song. I hated for that one to end. That was nice. This evening's scripture will come from 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 10. Again, that was 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 10. If you have a copy, the Red Pew Bible, it's page 970. Page 970. So to keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. Three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong." Amen.
The task of a gospel preacher is to afflict the comfortable and to comfort the afflicted. When I was in preaching school, they taught us that if you preach to hurting people, you will never lack for hearers. If you preach to burdened people, you'll never have an audience that tunes you out. That's always the truth. I want to spend a few minutes tonight reminding us of some truths that all of us need to hear, all of us need to take to heart. We sometimes forget in the struggles of our lives that God is for us. That's a very simple phrase, but it's very profound. Romans 8, verse 31, if God is for us, who can be against us? The next verse in Romans 8, 32 goes on to say that God, who gave his own son, didn't spare him. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? God is for us. He cares for us. He is on our side. He is somebody who wants to do everything that he can to bless our lives, even when our lives are difficult. Open your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, if you haven't already done so this evening. 2 Corinthians 12, verses 7 through 10. The Apostle Paul had a thorn in the flesh. I would like to hear your opinion at some point on what you think the thorn in the flesh was. Everybody has an idea, at least everybody who's thought very deeply about this passage. Some people are very strong in their opinions. But at the end of the day, that's all they are opinions. There's design in that. Paul didn't tell us, by inspiration, what his thorn in the flesh was. One of the reasons why he didn't tell us is because this passage was intended by God for us to take and to adapt to our own situation and circumstance as we think about the fact that God is for us and his grace is sufficient for us. Paul had this thorn in the flesh, whatever it was, and what I know about a thorn in the flesh is that it's painful. It's nothing you'd ever want or wish for or voluntarily decide that I need that thorn in my life. I know also that a thorn in the flesh is something that was so difficult for Paul to endure, he repeatedly asked the Lord to remove it from him. He prayed and he prayed and he prayed, "Take this away." And the Lord's response in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, is very telling. Six simple words. "My grace," God says, "is sufficient for you." We need to be reminded of that truth. Every one of us, whatever you're going through, whatever burden you're bearing, whatever trial or difficulty you're experiencing, you need to remember those six simple words because they really do make all the difference. They really do change how we see what's happening in our lives. Notice in the first place this evening, the source. When God says to Paul, "My grace is sufficient for you," Whose grace are we talking about? We're talking about the Lord's grace. The word grace simply means favor or blessing. If you strip down all that the Bible has to say about grace, the word itself just means favor or blessing. Everything that you experience as a blessing is grace from God. James 1:17 tells us that every good thing bestowed and every perfect gift is from above. It all comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. He is the God of all grace. 1 Peter 5, verses 10 through 12. And he is able in every circumstance to establish, to strengthen, and to bless his people. We need to hear and believe that the God we serve is a God of all grace. Not only that, Jesus, when he comes to earth, he comes in the form of a man. And in John 1:14 and following, the scripture says, "We beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." You want to turn your life over to Jesus Christ? That is a wise thing to do for many reasons. One of those reasons being, Jesus is full of grace. Full of it. Not just a little bit, not just giving it begrudgingly to you. He's full of grace and truth. As you think about God being the source of all grace, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9, one of the greatest passages on grace anywhere in the scripture, "You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through him might be made rich." When we think about where our salvation lies, when we think about where our comfort and our hope lie, when we're going through terrible things in our lives, isn't it wonderful to know that we are walking with the God of all grace, that Jesus is full of grace and truth, and that in him there is more than enough? I've always been fascinated about that account of Jesus feeding the 5,000. I've been thinking a lot about that lately. In John chapter 6, for example, Matthew 14, accounts of Jesus feeding the 5,000. It's the only miracle that's found in all four gospel accounts other than the resurrection of Christ. But when Jesus fed the 5,000, the scripture tells us that after everybody had eaten enough, they passed around baskets to collect the leftovers. There were 12 basketfuls left over. When God gives grace, there's always more than enough. The prodigal remembered his father's house, and he said, "In my father's house, there's bread enough and to spare." That's the way God is. My grace is sufficient for you. Turn your attention, secondly, to the supply. If God is the source of all grace, and if we look to him and our eyes turn to him in times of trial, in times of good things, think about the supply of grace. It is sufficient. The grace that God gives, the blessings he gives in every circumstance, it is sufficient. You know, Paul, he might have had questions about that because his thorn was not being taken away. You realize that in this passage, 2 Corinthians 12? The thorn in the flesh, whatever it wasn't being removed, at least not immediately. And the thorn was holding Paul back, at least that's what he thought. If I keep this thorn in my life, I'm not going to be able to preach and I'm not going to be able to teach as well as I could. I'm not going to be able to go as many places as I otherwise could. This is a hindrance to me. And God looks at Paul and he says, "My grace is enough. It's sufficient for you." Think about the tense. It's present tense, is it not? My grace is sufficient. It doesn't say my grace will be sufficient. It does not say my grace was sufficient. My grace is. Right now, it's enough for you. Hebrews 13, 5 and 6 teaches us not to be covetous. It says, "Be content with such things as you have, because God has made this promise, I will never leave you nor forsake you." He's with you right now. in whatever you're enduring. His grace is sufficient. Note as well the adequacy of God's grace. Sufficient. The 12 basketfuls left over. That's the kind of God that we serve. In Philippians 4:19, Paul writes, "My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." That passage, Philippians 4:19, teaches us that God has grace to bestow in everyone's life, that God desires, because he's for us, to supply everything we need. That doesn't mean that God necessarily removes every trial we endure. That doesn't mean that the thorn immediately goes away, if it goes away ever. But God is sufficient in what he gives us. He gives us what he knows we need. And we can trust that promise. It's enough. Note the difficulty of this. It's hard to believe that. The reason why it's a promise, brothers and sisters, is because promises are, by their very nature, difficult to believe. They just are. The promises God makes to us, we must, in our hearts and our lives, believe by faith that God means what he says. We must hold on to his words. We must allow what he says to us to permeate our very being and to hold on to words like this: whatever we're going through, whatever we're enduring, it's hard to believe, but it's true. God's grace is enough. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. His grace is sufficient for us. That's hard to believe, but it's true. Notice the implication. Paul has this thorn in the flesh. Paul's going to continue day after day, it seems, to live with his thorn in the flesh unless the Lord returns or death takes him. My grace is sufficient for you, and the implication is every day that you live. When Jesus taught us to pray in Luke 11, verse 3, "Give us this day our daily bread." I am convinced more and more as I live as a Christian, God does not download a year's worth of grace into our lives on January 1st and then walk away and say, "I'll see you next year. Happy New Year." That's not the way God works. He doesn't even download a week's worth on Sunday morning. What God does, and I love that he does it this way, he gives us grace for today. And we can live in the grace that he gives us today. And Jesus says things like this. He says, "Take no thought for tomorrow. Tomorrow has enough concerns of its own. Be content today." Matthew chapter 6, verses 33 and 34. Give us this day our daily bread. People need to remember, all of us, God's going to walk with us in this life. But God's not going to give us a great big pile of grace, a great big pile of blessings, and then say, "Well, I hope this gets you through." God's going to walk with us, and he is the good shepherd, and he provides exactly what the sheep need, one day, one step, 1 hour, sometimes 1 minute at a time. But his grace is sufficient. Third, notice the support. My grace is sufficient for you. He said this to Paul. Paul's thorn in the flesh. Paul, the great apostle. Think of all Paul could have done if God had just removed the thorn, but God didn't. He said, "Paul, I'm looking at what's going on in your life. I see the temptations and the trials and the burdens you have. What I give you is enough, more than enough for you." Sometimes we get kind of full of ourselves and we think, "Look at all the things I could accomplish if I just didn't have." My grace is sufficient for you. You know, we don't all have to set the world on fire in order to please God. If all we ever did with our lives was to love God and to love the people around us and to serve them in a humble way, and if nobody ever knew how we were living our lives, if nobody ever recognized or appreciated or patted us on the back for what we're doing, if that's the way we lived our lives, but God could say to us at the end of our lives, "Well done, good and faithful servant," that's a life well lived. You don't have to set the world on fire to serve God and to please Him. My grace is sufficient for you. As a matter of fact, if we were to set the world on fire, you understand what I mean by that? We'd become really full of ourselves, almost all of us. Not many of us have the capacity to handle something like that and to continue to be humble and to depend on God and to say, at the end of the day, God's grace is still sufficient for me. My grace is sufficient for you, Paul. My grace is sufficient for you, Christian. Notice that the support is personal. Every single one of us is unique. Every one of us has a unique life, a unique life experience, unique relationships. God knows what you need. Whatever's going on in your life, He knows intimately and cares deeply about you and your personal circumstances. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7 encourages us to cast all our cares upon Him. He cares for you. Individually, personally. Not only that, the promise is, see if I can get that, the promise is personalized. He cares for you uniquely. You know, what Paul needed from God is not necessarily the same thing that you and I need from God, at least maybe not today. All of us need salvation. We need that kind of grace, all of us, every day. I love the song we sing, "I need thee every hour." We need God every moment of every day of our lives. But the things we need, the blessings we need, the grace we need from God, it changes depending on what's happening in our lives, the people around us, the responsibilities we have, the trials we're enduring. And God is so wise and He's so amazing, He is able to personalize His care for each one of us. It's not as if He's trying to put a square peg in a round hole. It's not as if He's trying to force something into our lives that we just never could use. God knows exactly what you and I need, and He cares for us uniquely. As you think about this idea of God's grace being for us, it is unreserved. There are no limitations in this promise. God doesn't say, "My grace is sufficient for you as long as," Paul. "My grace is sufficient for you if and only if." When we walk in a covenant relationship with God, no limitations, no exceptions, no reservations, no place anywhere in this promise where God says, "You know, I'm just going to hold back." That's not what this promise teaches. It's unreserved. God is for you. He cares. He knows. He understands. And don't miss this. If you're looking at 2 Corinthians 12, the cross of Christ is what makes this possible. The fact that Jesus died for us, the fact that He gave His life on our behalf, that is what makes it possible for God to be for us. That's what makes it possible for God to say, "My grace is sufficient for you." And I'm so thankful for the cross, because the cross brings these promises and blessings into all of our lives. Difficult to believe? Absolutely. Something we need to hear and need to believe and need to be reminded of daily? Absolutely. God's grace is sufficient. Don't ever forget those six words. Perhaps you're here tonight, you're ready to obey the gospel. Be baptized. Become a child of God. Enter into a covenant relationship with Him. Galatians 3:27. Maybe you're here and you need to ask for prayers. Whatever your need is, won't you come while together we stand and while we sing.